Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
That we are going to be talking to our very first guest, Pastor Njanja, who is going to be talking to us about the topic, letting go and letting God. That is the topic that we're going to be speaking to but this afternoon. And of course, we're continuing with the discussions that we have been having, since Monday. And today is a Thursday, and so we've got to make sure that we just enjoy these conversations. And I do hope that you're actually following as we are going ahead with our conversation. The pastor is already on the line. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Siyaphila, siyaphila, saka skathi xo kunjani?
Sibashe kakhulu. God is still good,
man. Yes, man, God is still good, and he is good all the time. Now, yeah. Now, where we are going to be going, it's one more day to go, which is Friday tomorrow. So where we're going towards our conclusion of this particular discussion, letting go and letting God. And if you're joining us, perhaps joining us for the first time and listening to this conversation with Pastor Njanja, welcome to Adventist World Radio. Well, you may have missed the past couple of days, but I'm sure you can still get something. Now, what do you do when the plan you had for your life falls apart? If you're listening out there, what did you then do? Well, we often carry burdens that we were never meant to be carrying, you know, that they were never meant to be ours in the first place. Anxiety, worry, the need to control the outcome, etc., etc. But what if we made a trade? You know, today we want to talk about the power that comes from letting go and exchanging our panic for his peace and our weakness for his strength. It is time, truly, that we stop striving and actually start trusting. Mfundisi, we often come to God empty-handed, but Isaiah 41 verse 10 promises that he will strengthen us. How do we experience this supernatural exchange?
One of the ways of experiencing this supernatural, God says in Isaiah, actually is commanding by saying, we must not gaze in a state of panic or look around for help other than himself or panic at our circumstances. So God calls us to look up to him instead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the spiritual strength is not a feeling, but a covenantal relationship. Because as God says, I am your God, that is based on the relationship that God wants to have with me as I'm swimming in a pool of weaknesses.
Mm.
So now, when we admit we are weak, we make room for God to cover us. Hence, Paul says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So now there's a progression that follow that come in this way. So when God wants to act in our lives, his action presents itself when he says, I am with you. So in other words, he wants us to feel his presence, because sometimes in our situations, we experience isolation, we experience loneliness, and that loneliness is removed when he says, I am with you. Also, he wants to identify with us. Some of us, we've lost identity because of our situations, various situations. Then when God says, I am your God, he's simply saying, as I'm your God, I want to repurpose your life. I want you to be reestablished, since now you have lost your identity. As I do that, I will be strengthening you. By strengthening you, I'll be infusing my strength in you. That is, there will be that inner fortification of your soul internally. Then for action to take place, God says, I will help you. By so saying, God says, I will provide, I will intervene externally. So now, above all this, God wants to sustain us by carrying us where we want to be. By so that's why he says again, I will uphold you. So in the mix, we experience the exchange of power. That is, there is this spiritual strength that we experience in the presence of God whilst we are in the midst of our weaknesses. In that situation, then it's not easy to experience panic, because God said, I will hold you up with my righteous hand as the foundation beneath you. So in other words, God wants to take away our weaknesses, because our weaknesses, actually, they attract God's power in the context of a relationship with God. As I close on this part, our weaknesses become the very platform upon which God's righteous hand is most clearly seen.
Yeah. Now, when we let go of our selfish ambitions, Mfundisi, what better things does God often replace them with?
Again, this is an experience of exchange. Because first and foremost, we must trade our limited strength, our selfish ambitions, for divine power and purpose. And this must happen on an ongoing basis. So now, this exchange is active surrender. That is, we are casting all our anxieties on him, as Peter suggested. And this is an active transfer of weight by naming the ambitions that mislead us or the weaknesses. So this means, instead of saying, I am stressed, I must say, I'm realizing my need to be seen as the most successful person in this situation that I'm finding myself. So now, often, the strength does not arrive before we act. The strength of as we act. In other words, you remember that woman with the issue of blood. She had to crawl. That was an action. Crawl towards touching the helm of the garment. So now, as he was doing that, the act of healing arrived as he was acting. Are you still there?
Yeah. We're still here. Just a technical issue there. Yeah. Now, now, how does God take our broken places, you know, that is our past mistakes, our disappointments, and really transform these into testimonies?
You know, I see this scenario as buying a car that is written off and rebuilding it for a better use. Are we still there?
Yes, we're still here.
Yeah, because I hear some background.
No, we're still here, Pastor. I'm not hearing the background, but we're still here.
Okay, so as I was saying, Guti, the scenario that you are painting. As I was saying, Guti, the scenario of buying a car that is written off and rebuild it for a reuse.
Okay, something
is... a Japanese art form that is called kintsugi, where a broken pottery is repaired with a gold. Now, the philosophy is that the piece is more beautiful and valuable because it was broken.
Yes.
So now, as God transforms us, He does not just hide our cracks, but He fills them with His light. Then that experience will bring about a testimony. And a testimony is not a story of perfection. It is a story of restoration.
Yeah.
Are you following?
Yeah, following. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, this transformation, it deals with the pain, and it brings the pain into perspective. Now the pain of disappointment often feel like a dead end. But in a testimony, God uses those dead ends to develop a spiritual empathy. And in the process, we experience some scars. Now, you will remember, Uguti, Jesus kept His scars to retain the mark of His suffering. So now the scars are the evidence of our healing. So now when we share our broken places, we are showing people our wounds. But as we share our wounds, now the intervention of God in a form of a testimony. So as we show them scars, now the scar is the healed wound. Therefore, we must be willing to stop hiding our scars.
Yeah.
Because you cannot testify about something you are still trying to camouflage. So now, in other words, our story is no longer a tragedy, but a miracle that revealed God's righteous right hand that intervened.
Now, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, God's power is made perfect in weakness. Now, how can we then embrace our weakness rather than hiding it? I think you've already touched on this, but I just wanted you to expand a little bit.
Actually, we must relinquish the competency mask. Now, the competency mask says, I believe in my values and I am tired to be perceived as the one who's having this glamorous image. Now, when Paul says, actually, Paul does not just accept his weaknesses. He goes on to say, he boasts in his weaknesses. Now, to boast in weakness is to stop trying to prove your own sufficiency.
Yes, yes.
Now, how do you embrace that? Now, you start by being honest with yourself and God about where you're genuinely struggling with: emotional struggles, intellectual limitation, or physical frailties. So by acknowledging that, that is the first step towards allowing God's power to rest in you. And now this exercise gives space for God's power to dwell and for me to rest in His power. In other words, God's power is fully realized and is fully realized in the presence of a void in the presence of that loneliness. So that is why I will repeat by saying, when we hide our weaknesses, we fill that space with our ego and efforts of and stop God's a room to display his divinity. So in other words, when you and I, we don't feel enough for the task at hand, instead of faking confidence, I must pray and say, Lord, here is a void of not being capable, of not having power, since I don't have confidence, to pitch this tent right here. So in other words, each time I interact with God, I must be honest. I must be vulnerable enough.
Yeah.
As I do that, I open up a space for God to show or to imbue me with his power. In actual fact, weakness becomes an asset for God to display his power. And the result is that when we stop hiding, we become vessels of mercy rather than a monument to ourselves.
Now, what is the connection then between surrendering control and experiencing the joy of the Lord? Is there a connection there?
I missed that one.
I'm saying, what is the connection between surrendering control and experiencing the joy of the Lord? Is there a connection there?
The sad thing about control is that control is the heavy machinery of the ego.
Ooh.
And it requires constant maintenance and a fuel and a defense. Now, when we surrender that machinery, we stop working for our own security and begin resting in God's joy. Now, there's an exchange that is taking place. When you surrender, you actually resign as a manager of your life.
You resign as a manager of your life.
Yes, there's a joy of connection, because joy is the byproduct of relief. When the burden of ego is moved from our shoulders to God's righteous right hand, as Isaiah alluded to that. So now the natural result is the lightness of spirit. So you are no longer bracing for impact. Actually, you are braced by his grace. So now, biblically, joy is not dependent on circumstances. It is a deep-seated confidence in God's character.
Yeah. Before I let you go, Mfundisi,
to control their opinion of you. So by surrendering control, you stop performing for God and start enjoying being with God. So now trust becomes the soul in which joy grows, though it is difficult to experience the joy of gift. If you are too busy trying to earn the money to buy it yourself. So that's how we enjoy the joy of the Lord. Let me just share this anatomy of exchange.
Yeah.
Of living in control and living in surrender. So when I live in control, the source is self-reliance. But when I live in surrender, the source is God's reliance. So when I'm stressed emotionally and despaired, when I live in surrender, now I only rely in the joy of the Lord. There is no fear. And when I'm in control, I always view the future as a threat to be managed, because of I want to use all everything using my efforts. But now when I'm living in surrender, now I view the future as an opportunity to see God moving with me into the future. Lastly, as I'm living in control of my life, the outcome is burnout and exhaustion. But when I live in surrender, the outcome is strength and renewal. As Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Mm.
But there's a paradox in this when scones. Because we think we gain strength by taking control. But the Bible says we gain strength by receiving joy. So now when we fully surrender, that's when we find the joy of the Lord.
Mm.
And the joy of the Lord replaces my control as I surrender to God and let God be God.
And then lastly, how does then prayer, you know, and praying daily, empower us to navigate this space?
Dalawam, daily prayer for the knowledge of His will serves as a spiritual engine for the day.
Yes.
So you cannot, you can't survive.
Mm.
You can't survive without prayer.
Yes.
And in that prayer, you seek the knowledge of His will.
Mm.
Because this prayer will empower you and me throughout the day, because it gives me sustenance to live out throughout the day. So now prayer for the knowledge of God, as He promised that He's going to be with me, He wants to identify Himself with me, He said He's going to strengthen me. So now as I pray in the morning, I'm opening up for God to be the one who will be living, who will be leading throughout the day. That's how important it is. Before we start the day, we pray for God to lead.
Yeah. Man, Mfundisi Konzoti Kopilayo, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. We will have one more session with you tomorrow at the same time and same place. And Nkosi kakhulu, thank you so much for joining us.
Blessings to you and blessings to listeners.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.